Secrets of the Deep. On May 16, 1944, two young British naval officers launched their two F-4 Corsairs from Brunswick Naval Air Station on a training mission over Sebago Lake. This, and perhaps only this, part of the legend is undisputed. By Colin W. Sargent. From Portland Monthly Magazine. The bodies of the pilots who went down with their planes 50 fathoms below the surface of Sebago have never been recovered. But whether they remain in their aircraft, now deemed watery graves, is murky. CBS News reported in 1999 that the British government and U.S. courts ruled the planes are war graves and must not be disturbed. The aircraft are on the bottom of the lake at a depth of 325 feet and both pilots have remained entombed in them since, according to Sub-Lieutenant Knott's listing in the Grantham Matters News site's Hall of Fame archives. Knott attended Grantham King School before flight training in Britain and Canada that led to his assignment in Maine. Alfred Fred Hagen of Aero Archaeology disagrees. "I don't think," Sub-Lieutenant Knott, "was strapped in. On impact or during descent, he was probably catapulted out. They never floated. He might have gone into a mummified position inside his flight suit." The pilots, Von Reginald Gill and Raymond Lawrence Knott, are both commemorated on a Commonwealth War Graves Commission tablet in England. According to CWGC.org, the principal base of the Fleet Air Arm, Leigh-on-the-Solent, Hampshire, was chosen as the site for the memorial to almost 2,000 men of that service who died during the Second World War and who have no known grave. And yet it is well known that these heroes rest far from their homes and families in our own Sebago Lake, which provides 20% of the water for the population of Maine. Following eyewitness stories and corroborating with side-scan sonar and underwater detection devices, Hagen, a commercial builder headquartered in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and an experienced warbird salvager, pinpointed the wrecks at the turn of this century with underwater remotes. He was on a barge on Sebago, prepared to recover the wrecked aircraft and, most respectfully, anything that was left of the flyer's remains, but his efforts were thwarted by orders of the State of Maine, the United States, and Great Britain. Sub-Lieutenant Knott, just 19 when he lost his life, was born in Walton Gardens, Grantham, Lincolnshire, England. His Corsair was part of a four, or possibly six, plane formation that lifted off from Brunswick Naval Air Station. We know from the Grantham yearbook that Knott loved athletics and electrical engineering. His father's name was Lawrence Henry Knott, and his mother was Matilda Rose Knott. Sub-Lieutenant Gill, 24, hailed from the lovely waterfront community at Riverside House, Thames Street, Sunbury-on-Thames, Middlesex, the eldest of three siblings born to George T. Gill and Annie Vera Gill. His brother David was born in Middlesex. Vaughan and his sister Rosemary were born in India, where we conclude that his dad was stationed for a number of years. As the formation was passing over the water, one aircraft suddenly dropped and struck the lake, sending up a large plume of water that was struck by the second, causing it too to crash. Both aircraft, one containing Sub-Lieutenant Gill and the other, Sub-Lieutenant Knott, immediately sank in over 300 feet of water and disappeared. Despite a search conducted immediately afterward by a U.S. Navy diving bell, neither the airplanes or the pilots were found, according to New England aviation history. Two other stories making the rounds here in Maine, however, are that during low-level maneuvers practice, the two collided midair, or that one hit the water with a wing, and like a toy jack, flipped up and hit the other. The pilots were declared MIA. We were unable to locate any conclusion to an official accident investigation. A worldwide adventurer who has proven he cares about lost warbirds and their crews, Hagen values not just the airframes, but the crew's backstories. He feels for the two lost pilots because he believes there is a fraternity/sorority of the air. "I get that. I'm a former U.S. Navy pilot. Gill and Knott aren't just statistics or remains. They had favorite playlists. What were their songs? Were they writing to someone special back home? And why must they stay, without ceremony, at the bottom of Sebago Lake when what was perhaps not feasible in wartime seems doable now?" Alfred Hagen was entangled in legal proceedings on November 24, 2003, when he sought the right to recover the planes and repatriate the bodies. "We asked Hagen, why do you think the British didn't want their boys back? I got hoodwinked by the Brits. They sent a U.S. maritime attorney, James Gould of Washington, D.C., to represent them. They held the suit in the courthouse right in Portland. All these lawyers and officials. To introduce themselves, they went around the room. Who do you represent? All these lofty connections. When they got to me, I said, I'm Fred Hagen. I represent the two pilots. This seemed to incense Gould. He said, how could you say you're representing these pilots? I said, I've located 8 aircraft, most in the South Pacific, and 18 airmen. During the course of this, I've met hundreds of World War II veterans. We're talking about 2 young men. They gave up more than just lives. Dying that young, they gave up the fullness of their lives. The chance to go home, the chance to fall in love and have children, the chance to tell their stories to their grandchildren. These 2 boys have been forgotten by men and time. They were flying very rare aircraft, the early birdcage model of the gull-winged F-4U Corsair. On the underwater images, you can see the birdcages covering the cockpits. Preservation of these 2 artifacts could be a memorial to these 2 men. You can't tell me if they could speak, the 2 pilots wouldn't want to be understood and remembered. I looked around. No one on earth could convince me of that. No one in this room. Now here's the scary part to this high drama in the Portland courthouse, Gould met with me during a break. The UK has filed a suit, and you have filed a countersuit. If you drop your suit, I'll drop our suit. I'll get back to the UK and recommend that they work with you to get a permit for you to do the salvage operation. I agreed to that. I called my lawyer. Time kept passing. When are we going to receive a fax? This was 2003, and we're still faxing them. 20 years later. Who is this James Gould, anyway? He's a US lawyer and maritime legal authority representing Britain. I'm not saying that he screwed me. He said he could promise me that he would recommend that I do that. He seemed very sincere. I believe he recommended that. According to the 1999 CBS News coverage, Commander Colin Sharp of the Royal Navy has said in the past that the British government prefers the pilots' watery graves not be disturbed, but if the remains can be recovered, the men will be buried with full military honors. According to Hagen, in 2003 Britain's party line was, "We have determined that it is still sacred ground and it can't be touched, though this is still controversial." Seth Brewster, an attorney from Falmouth, also represented the British government during the proceedings. We asked him if the families of the deceased pilots played a part in the decision. Not that I remember. This was determined to be a war grave, and the site belonged to the British government and shouldn't be disturbed. I am not sure if the position of the UK has changed. On one hand, it's always about money. In his complaint, Hagen asked for title to the aircraft as part of the deal. CBS reported that one of these Corsairs, in good condition, would fetch roughly $1 million today. On the other hand, that's how the salvage business works. According to the court transcript, Earl Shuttleworth, Jr., representing the Maine Historic Preservation Commission, submitted a declaration that the remains of the aircraft are eligible for listing in the National Register of Historic Places. Reality check. Military repatriation and funeral protocol for bringing heroes home for interment in their own countries and places dear to their families is a big deal. Example from the National Funeral Directors Association, bodies of those who die in Afghanistan or elsewhere as a result of the war will be repatriated, returned to the United States, as soon as possible. Were the families involved in this decision to leave their loved ones on foreign soil? Hagen says, I was in contact with the sister of Sub-Lieutenant Gill. She wanted him recovered and brought home. Sebago Lake is the deepest lake in Maine, built on a granite shelf. It's so profoundly dark and deep that when the Department of Energy was casting about for places to store nuclear waste a few decades ago, the geologists suggested Sebago Lake in Maine. It was nixed as the publicity posed a threat to tourism. Hagen says, it was a hot summer day. Canopies open. Flight suits were likely unzipped. Ice cold down there. It's dark, so little light. The pilot's remains would most likely be remarkably preserved. We found the aircraft and the debris field with an ROV, remote operating vehicle, that that I rented for the occasion. But was it such a summery day? According to NOAA Online, weather data provided by weather.gov, the temperature on May 14, 1944, hit 75 degrees. The average temperature that day was nearly 10 degrees higher than normal. It could have felt like an oven under the canopy. Flight crews' bodies have reportedly been preserved for decades, but underwater mummification in a lake is news. Certainly, there is eerie preservation in arid desert conditions, the most famous example being the Lady Be Good, the B-24D Liberator that crashed in the dunes of North Africa while returning to its base in Libya after a bombing raid on German-held Naples, Italy in April 1943. Hagen says, "I've seen Lady Be Good. I met with Muammar Gaddafi twice. The purpose of my meeting was to try to salvage her. Now it's in Tobruk. There has never been a museum. I gave him a proposal, and he agreed." This was during the Arab Spring, in December 2010 or so. We went over site selections. We were thinking of Tobruk, along the ocean. Gaddafi said he'd donate the land if we'd put up the funds. He didn't condescend to meet Hagen in his palace. Too showy and not warrior-like enough. In royal Bedouin style, he met me in a tent, which had all female bodyguards. Beautiful girls with machine guns. There were cartons of Marlboro Reds everywhere. I said, "I understand you'd consider this Europeans fighting on your land. But for posterity, with so many war machines kept dry by desert conditions, an incredible museum for the ages might happen here. A world attraction." Gaddafi said, "If your proposal has merit, I'll give you an equal share with the other countries that engaged in World War II. Hagen's next recovery operation? I'm heading to Croatia to check on a sunken Roman vessel. It's November 2022 now. We've witnessed that a drought causing the water level in Lake Mead, Hoover Dam's reservoir on the Colorado River, to drop 15% is possible. We know water depth reportings can fluctuate. Some sources claim Sebago's aircraft are in 200 feet of water, the court documents, some say 325. We now are only too aware that what happens in a lake doesn't necessarily stay in a lake. There's always the possibility of a reveal or a disturbance." A private letter to the Gill family from a fellow service member confides that the two planes did not collide. "We are still waiting to hear back from Prince Edward, Duke of Kent, Queen Elizabeth II's cousin, who heads the Commonwealth War Graves Commission. His aviator father crashed into a cliff in 1942 while flying over northern Scotland. His remains were recovered. Maybe it is time to fulfill Commander Sharp's of the Royal Navy vow to render full military honors to Sebago's heroes." When these two British allies were training here in Maine in 1944, my father was in England, flying 35 missions in B-17s and B-24s from Lavenham Air Base. I believe he would have wanted us to take another look at this case. This one's for you, Dad.